It's a meeting room. It's very it's got plush background, which I don't think you'd find in a toilet. A lot of place for poo to get stuck.
Flush background you might find, but not plush. Yeah. It's nice that they let you wear your pajamas to work as well, which is good.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I made an enemy for life in my work and in the public service. It really is for life by making a joke at one of the tea breaks about the fact that his shirt looked like it was pajamas. And because it caught on. So other people started going like, all right, morning B1, morning B2, you know, whistling bananas and pajamas at him, you know. And
you couldn't help that throwaway comment would become bullying so quickly.
It's instantaneous. And I would be blamed for it as well. He's like, I said it once. I didn't fucking pick on you.
Yeah, I didn't reap the fucking whirlwind on this bad boy.
Yeah. Although, I mean, yeah, I did. Let's be honest. Of course I joined in. I didn't want them to pick on me.
Yeah, and then you were like, oh, no, I came up with it, guys. Yeah. It was me.
Me, I'm the good. I'm the one. Unpick-onable. That's what I am. Nice to see you there, Jack.
Nice to be seen, Manus.
It certainly is, and I'm glad you decided to get off the toilet before you allowed us to see you, which was good.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of puking today, so I thought, that what I should do is I should take like a tactical shit before I do the podcast, so I don't have to be in the middle of it.
Yeah,
you've been making a lot of six. Have you been making your six?
Yeah, I've been making some six, and I feel undeserved. You know, like sometimes the six are self-inflicted, but this feels like not that time.
Remind me, what time were you out to on Saturday night after you just got off a 12-hour flight?
I was home by midnight. I was in bed by 5.
I think you've mixed up the order in which that joke goes.
No, yeah. That is wrong unless you fuck on the couch.
That's true.
But Jack requires some explanation.
Yeah.
Nah. No, I wasn't up that late.
We don't believe you, but that's we don't have to, but you know, that's not acceptable. That's an acceptable thing to do. It is particularly annoying when you're sick, and it's like I didn't even fucking do anything.
Yeah.
Fucking do anything. What's this about? Apart from, you know, and your poo thing, I think, was a good idea because you're giving the whatever's in there another area to go. Hey, it doesn't all have to come up this way. There's a whole fucking other hole out there.
There's a world of opportunity down south.
Well, I think if you don't stimulate that, I don't think it knows. I think your tongue's just like, oh, this is fucking easy. I don't have to deal with any of it. If I just keep sicking this up, I never have to deal with it. It's like that ear that we've all had a colleague like that. Some of us have been that colleague where it just becomes easier not to give them work because they just keep sending it back to you.
Yeah.
It is easier if I just do this.
You wonder about those people too. It's like, do they know they're like this? Is this a strategy or
no? Nope. Absolutely not. I'm dealing with two at the moment, and I was at an offsite last week, so I couldn't move the project forward, so gave them very clear actions on what to do. Yeah. And when I came back and asked what the progress has been, I was met with a very clear silence on both of their parts. It's like, oh, cool, so I'm just doing it then. So that's just like, you just didn't do fucking anything. Cool. Yeah, nice to know where you stand.
Yeah. I've run into people like that who then will also, when I then don't give them anything ever again, because why in the name of God would you put me in a position to give people work? But I mean, why?
But I also find, maybe it's different in the public sector, but the people who do nothing in tech, in the tech firms that we work in, where like, realistically, there's a lot to do. You know, you could be doing a lot if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But those people who do nothing are often the quote-unquote busiest. You know, it's often like
Yeah.
Absolutely slammed, man. Just couldn't possibly.
Bro,
maybe they've got it all figured out. Maybe they're the ones who have it nailed.
Yeah, I think they do have it nailed, but we can't all do that.
That's sort of no. That we certainly can. Yeah, but just me.
Otherwise, our tech daddies will find out and they'll sack us all and realize they could have automated years ago.
Yeah, they love nothing more than to doing a bit of sacking. That's for sure. It sort of leads me into a very similar thing. But you'll hear it as well. It's the constant busyness is infuriating, particularly if you're in a position to take some work off that person and then they just won't let you. Because really what they want to do is complain about being busy. That's the point of the exercise. It's not actually.
Yeah.
But the cousin, the equally irritating cousin of the constantly busy person is not necessarily someone you work with. In fact, it almost certainly isn't. This is your buddy who's talking to just so vocal about how hard they work and how long they work. I actually work fucking 120 hours a week.
120 hours a week, man. That's a lot.
That's almost unbelievable, actually.
Almost, yeah.
It's an almost unbelievable amount of time to be working, yeah.
I mean, like, remember how, like, tired you are after, like, a 60-hour week? You're like, I'm never doing that again. That was atrocious. I fell asleep in my clothes. What are you...
that's a 30 and pretending it's 40 for me. Thank you very much.
So you did double that? Really? I know people have different work ethics, but we're the same species, dude.
Yeah.
You know? Fucking, you know, a 60-hour week in DPD, it was like, I'll shower or I'll sleep.
One's a problem for me, another's a problem for you.
Yeah, so guess which one's getting addressed first. I suspect those people are like, they just count everything as work. It's like, well, technically my phone was here and that could have rang. So really just hustling.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, lads. I'm working right now.
Yeah. The Jack Donner special. I sat in the pub 3 pints deep. I'm working right now.
I've done some of my finest work between 2 and 3 pints deep. And then some
now,
of my
Jack, that actually speaks volume about the work
quality of your work.
It's a creative space, you know. You got to be just limber enough to not say no to the ideas that might be a little bit out there, but not fucked enough to say yes to every idea. Well, note that what immediately then happens is that you say yes to some pretty good ideas that maybe a more cautious version of yourself would have said no to, and then immediately wash over those good ideas with the shit ideas by pint six, making the exercise completely fruitless because you can't tell which is which the next morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a fine balance that we have never successfully managed to maintain.
No.
But goddamn, a boy can dream.
It may not be possible, but we need to be unburdened by what has. We need to, whatever that thing Kamala Harris is always saying, we need to do that.
Unburdened by what has been. Was that not Gandalf?
I mean, you can imagine, presumably the same people who write this shit for the politicians are also in, like, writing rooms for everything else. So, like, yeah. Probably. That was a moment in time that we'll never get back, which was, I wonder what movie Leo Radner's got to quote tonight on the news.
This is our Independence Day. I want this motherfucking COVID off this motherfucking island.
Yeah.
Replace COVID with immigrants and you've got yourself a platform, sir.
But I want these motherfucking Americans on the motherfucking plane.
Get them over here. We're going to start taking COVID seriously right after St. Patrick's Day. There's a little bit of Oval Office visiting to be done and I'm going to bloody well do it. It's a pointless job and no one has to do it. I'm told there's huge benefits from our unprecedented access to the American poles of power over St. Patrick's Day. Now, I'm told that by the people going on the trips.
Yeah.
I've yet to see it illustrated, but it's there. It's other net. We are the envy of other nations, because I can imagine, you know, Keir Starmer is probably sitting there going, "I wish I had the access to Washington." That Simon Harris gets.
Unfortunately, I don't have the influence that they get on that secret St. Patrick's Day meeting where they discuss all of the different policies that America is going to enact because of its relationship with Ireland. And they don't just discuss Joe Biden's fucking family or whatever the fuck else.
And have you ever been to County Offaly?
Because I can't remember if I have. See Biden donning a Trump hat.
I did not.
That was a really cute clip.
He's gas now. I mean, he's because he can now admit he's not controlling anything. He's just having a gay old time eating ice cream, putting on hats.
I feel like that's what politics used to be in relatively recent past, where you could kind of have a goof and it would actually just be fine. And it was nice that someone had a goof and it was fine.
Clinton had a goof all over a very expensive ball gown at one point, if I remember correctly.
Oh no, I done goofed all over the ball gown.
That'd be very on brand. Would be him having a very silly name for making his calls.
Oh no, I saxophoned all over one of the interns again.
Oh no. I made my baboobins.
You can say that again.
Oh, Hillary's gonna be mad.
Hillary's gonna be mad, so mad.
We call it the Secret Service for a reason, right, fellas? Pinky promises now.
Those delightful old perverts. And speaking of which, welcome to the final countdown. I'm your host, Ben Clifford, and we're here to have a gay old time. I put together an agenda because we're doing a double, so it's very important to get to our everything on our agenda this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our fans would expect nothing less. Sorry, was there an S in there?
Two S's in less, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. So, a new take on the Puff Daddy scandal.
We all went on our
holidays. Another person who made no money from their seminal hit. And if we have time, we're gonna solve the Israel Palestine thing.
Perfect. And when we talk about a seminal hit, we're still talking about Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah.
Sidebar. I always thought seminal was like everybody knows it. It's seminal. Whereas it's seminal is influential because it's of semen.
It's of semen, yes. It's cummy. But before we get to any of that, or potentially way before, like potentially those things won't ever get got to.
Yeah.
But certainly before. It's time to get introduced to these bloody drinks.
Yeah, buddy. He changed it around because a lot of us don't have beers.
Yeah. I have a Crown Bagger.
Very nice.
It's a beer of sorts.
It's a beer of sorts. Yeah, it's more beer than... Well, mine's a beer. Mine's a ginger beer.
Oh, ginger beer, yeah. Hinghead.
Blended with crisp apples. So I guess that's fucking bullshit. It's basically a cider.
Those are the ones they grow at Tato Park, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Crisp apples.
Slice your apples real thin and deep fry them.
That would probably be better than what Tato would do if you told them to make a crisp apple, which is just mash a bunch of Tato bits into an apple.
Like that fucking disgusting chocolate bar.
Oh, God, yeah. I guess their logic was people do sort of like the crisp chocolate combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was no fucking issue with... You know all the places that sell crisps, they sell chocolate too.
Yeah. You're solving a problem that's already solved.
Yeah, it's like when they put Rock Shandy in a single can. It's like, yeah, you ruined it.
It's all about the fucking ratio.
It's fucking exactly about the ratio. That's exactly what it is. Plus, I think actually a bit of chocolate on a very small amount of chocolate on a crisp would work way more than bits of crisps in chocolate.
In chocolate. Yeah, agree. Like a chocolate dipped crisp.
Yeah.
Probably pretty delicious.
I bet it would be.
Biscuit. But you've described as a biscuit.
I have described a biscuit, yeah.
I mean,
depending on how right you are.
Yeah. Because anything with bits of crisps in it, it's just because like bits of crisps being on something or it's like, oh, what the fuck happened here? Did a 6-year-old have a birthday party? What's going on? There's bits of crisps on everything, but that's neither here nor there. We're not here to make the potato advertising department make them their corn. They need to make their own corn.
They do indeed.
And sell it instead of potatoes because it would be far more popular. I don't know, Gavin. I agree with this fella. I think he's a great boy. This wee boy. See, that's the funniest thing in the world is Duncan Bannatyne from Dragon's Den loving corn.
It is. Picture it. The year is 2012. Dragon's Den has long since been a cultural relevant touch point.
Oh, Duncan, yeah.
Bannatyne, not even the most famous thing about Dragon's Den. Also,
that wasn't even, we did have a Dragon's Den sketch, but that wasn't even the premise of it. Our one was even shitter.
Yeah.
Is that Squeezy Blowbags?
No. Squeezy Blowbags is a kingmaker of a sketch, man. Hear no criticism of Squeezy Blowbags. No, RJ, this was 2011, Jax. You have to understand, this was, what if there was a real dragon? What if what if it's really a dragon? That could be ripe for
And here's the thing, man. It's like, you try to make that sketch these days, they wouldn't fucking let you. They wouldn't let you. Because it was, if you try to make that today, that's the problem. That's the problem. They don't let people make shit sketches now.
You'd be booed off stage for that one today. Actually, it was like top three in that show, to be honest with you. But, you know, that's just... That's neither here nor there. They don't let you get away with that sort of thing today. We were all on our holidays, gentle folks.
We bloody were and all. Well, I was working.
Yeah, I was on a business holiday.
Well, that's what Cliff Richard was singing about, really, wasn't it?
It was.
In his hit record,
Business Holiday.
What? We're all going on a business holiday.
Oh, yeah.
How could I forget?
Yeah, mine was more holiday than business holiday, because it was an offsite where they had to change the agenda with 10 days to go. So there was a lot of free time, which when you're there is like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, you know, I get to just hang out in San Diego for a while. But when you think about it, it's like, you flew me all the way to San Diego to just fucking hang out.
Yeah. There are those moments where you're like, oh, you have no respect for my time at all.
You have no respect for my time.
And like, you were like, oh, the next time layoffs are happening, I'm like, you've spent 2 person salaries on bringing all of these people here.
Absolutely. Much, much more.
Two really good people, like two top dogs.
Ah, yeah, but come on, listen, we all parties.
Yeah.
San Diego, not the worst place for that to happen. They could have sent you to some god awful. Like, at least it's tech that you're in. I mean, if you were in, like, say, for example, the dairy industry, they'd have sent you to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'd say there's some peak hanging out to be done in Wisconsin. I'd say
no. That's Wisconsin you're thinking of. Where the three brothers are from.
Wait, I googled Hansen just there, and a lot of Mac Hansen. He's doing well on the.
He's doing well for himself. My prediction that he was going to be found out and run out of the league by next year is going great.
Going great, yeah. Any day now, any day.
I was like, he has one season wonder written all over him. That's what I said, and it's very likely to happen. I think, you know, he's going to be Jadon Sancho all over again. Although I saw Jadon Sancho move to Chelsea. He's probably going to do quite well there. And United did manage to avoid getting Raheem Sterling in return, which was good.
That is good. Yeah, it's excellent. So God forbid they got a decent player in return.
What you don't want to do as business 101 actually, or is to in any way get anything for your asset.
Buy high, sell low. That way you know how much things cost.
That's what amortization is, as far as I know.
dollar cost average your players.
Yeah. you can make certain business noises when you're puking, like a wibbida.
Yeah, I can run through. Hey, Jack, can you run through the financials on this call? Can I?
Yeah.
I'd struggle not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that's good. What's because people who like this program, they like it for the financial jokes. And that was a lot of the finance bros do listen to this and vote for Fine Gael.
Yep.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great place to vote.
Great place to fucking vote, man. The party of Michael Collins is ghost, apparently. It would have to have been. Jack, yeah. You were on some sort of offside as well, or was yours more businessy than it was holiday?
Mine was pretty businessy. I spent 2 days in Seattle and then 3 days in San Francisco.
No, did you go to the Space Needle?
I did not.
Did you go to the Bite of Seattle?
What was that?
The Bite of Seattle. It's a big food court that they're very proud of.
Oh no, I didn't.
Did you go see the Mariners? Why don't I just let you tell me what you did?
I did fuck all is the problem. Now the Seahawks were playing on the Sunday, but not in Seattle. So I was considering going over a day earlier. And then I also realized that would cost a lot of money and be really boring.
Oh, so and then that made you not do it?
I know, really against
normally you don't get beyond the that'll cost a lot of money part.
Yeah, so
a lot of money. It must be excellent. I'll take two. Yeah.
And was Frasier there?
Yeah, saw Frasier a handful of times. Honestly, couldn't really get away from Frasier.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Yeah, since he went Republican, he doesn't have very many friends.
No, he needs a little bit more on day to day, I think.
I haven't seen the new Frasier, but I can't help but think it's a step down when you replace David Hyde Pierce with Rodney from Fools and Horses. I could be wrong, but.
All I'll say is Rodney from Bulls and Horses was available. And that says a lot.
It says he made so much money he never needed to work again.
Yeah.
Rodney from Fools, yeah. I mean, which is good. I mean, because he was fucking brilliant as Rodney.
He was great.
But he can't, unfortunately, he can't be in anything else without it being like, well, there's Rodney. David Jason did not have that problem.
No, he was able to go on and be
Frost.
Yeah,
it's the only thing I can think of that he really did. But like, I watch both of those things now. I don't want to watch Only Fools and Horses, but it's on every channel 24 hours a day, so you kind of have to. But but it's like that. You watch Touch of Frost, and it's like, that's not Del Boy. That's, he grew a mustache, has gray hair. That's Frost.
Yes, yeah.
D.I. Frost, Dick Inspector Frost.
Did you like speaking of Frost, I forgot that the name of Frost was A Touch of Frost.
Oh, yeah.
And then that reminded me of an excellent Charlie Brooker series, A Touch of Cloth, which is a spoof of Frost. And it's so good. I think I watched like 3 episodes of it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Charlie Brooker, a very talented man.
He is indeed.
Another man who just probably doesn't ever have to work again if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Like, I'd say Netflix turned up to his house with a truck full of money.
I highly suspect they did.
He got into the Netflix game, I'd say, when it was truck full of money territory.
Yeah,
a lot of people now, you're hearing like, oh, Squid Game guy didn't really make that much money. He made like $100,000 out of Squid Game, which for many years work is fuck all money.
Yeah,
and I'd say he just missed the boat. You had to be just famous enough, just early enough that Netflix were going to pay you silly cash to do what you're already doing.
Like, and the same is true for podcasting. Like, no one's ever going to pay Joe Rogan money again for a podcast. Like, Spotify also bought, was it Gimlet Media or something like that? Something which, like, you know, produced fucking 10 podcasts and they sold for like $100 million.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a lot. I'd like that amount of money to be in my bank.
Same.
Yeah, that would be nice. They Rogan got re-upped again with an even bigger deal and not exclusive.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you can, like, they gave him, now it's not quite like for like, so it's a little cryptic as to quite what, how much of an increase he got, but he got like, I think 200 and something, 250 million for the next 5 years, as opposed to 100 million. But he had been getting 100% of his ad revenue himself.
Right.
On top of the original 100 million, and now he's doing an ad split with Spotify. But he's back on Apple. He's back on YouTube.
I thought that deal just ran out. Like, I was like,
no, they re-upped, man.
Why would they possibly have re-upped that deal?
I don't know, because it's, I can't, who's subscribing, especially now that it's not exclusive, because
who's even listening to Rogan at this point?
I know a couple of guys. I listened to the one episode a lot, the one he only had Tucker on. I put it on to go to sleep. It can't be at the level he was at, because it was
can't be. He was everywhere.
He was everywhere, and he took, and there's no, and like, and then he was just on Spotify, and I can't, like, I don't know how many people Spotify has, but I mean, everyone has YouTube.
Yeah. It's like the same with Formula One. When it was on Channel 4, everyone in the UK was a Formula One fan, and then it went exclusively on Sky, and then a small subsection of people were Formula One fans. Like, it's got to be the same. I mean, Spotify is maybe more prevalent than kind of Sky Sports was. But like, when you limit something to get subscribers, you lose the mass appeal.
Particularly, like, there's a certain point at which you, if you're big enough, like if the NFL went on DAZN exclusively, like they're so big that they actually would make the platform, much like Premier League Soccer made Sky Sports. Formula One, it was a big thing. When it, I think they went to DAZN eventually. I don't think they were even on Sky eventually. Mm. Joe Rogan Drive to Survive is going to be a big thing for his podcast coming back.
It's been really great to have other people like F1 again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was such an institution. It was like always on.
Yeah.
Not, it was on BBC. Everyone.
It was Sunday morning background watching all the time.
Yeah, and it was, you could watch the qualifying.
Mick there making the fry, F1 in the background. God, what a perfect Sunday morning.
What a perfect Sunday morning. We'll never get back there.
No. I'll have to take down my Heinz Harald Frentzen poster. And put up my Damon Hill Jr. poster. That's right.
So wait, Jack, okay, you were in San Francisco and Seattle. Which one was better?
I actually would argue I wasn't in San Francisco. I would argue I was in an industrial estate near San Francisco.
Seattle, you said.
I got a bit of a chance to walk around Seattle. It's a nice town, I think, actually. Yeah, there's like clearly a pretty big like drug abuse problem. But there's also like a lot of cool music stuff happening.
They do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the individuals involved are not the same.
Potentially not. You never know. It's the drug abuse thing. I never would have had Seattle in my head as like that being a...
I think it's relatively new. And maybe I read a little about it just as I was like Googling stuff to do around there. None of which I did, obviously.
Yeah, it's stuff to do around there. Fucking drugs, man.
Yeah. Like, have you tried?
Imagine that was the trip advisor for every city. It was like number one, heroin.
Yeah. Have you tried fentanyl? You can get some of that.
I didn't think there was going to be a downside to having Hunter S. Thompson write all these guidebooks, but it's just drugs after drugs after drugs.
Sorry, what was the question? Was there...
Problem.
Yeah, maybe I was more aware, like read about it or something, but like it definitely a noticeable thing. And I think maybe potentially quite new. But yeah, like it's you're wandering around and you're like, yeah, this is where both Nirvana and Microsoft are from. Both of those things make perfect sense here.
It was a big hit rate out of Seattle. Starbucks,
Yeah. Frasier.
Amazon?
Amazon, maybe, yeah.
No, that came surely from Brazil.
It did come from Brazil. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
No. That was his second wife. He's not Brazilian either. Third one though. You never know.
Bezos is a big third wife energy, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
He's a very "have you met my current wife" kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But no, I would actually. I think Seattle actually might be. I'm not sure if it's a great place to visit. Like, I'm not sure how much there is to do, but I can imagine actually being a pretty good place to live.
Like
a happy middle ground between like all the crazy shit that America can be, and it's just all of that sort of turned down to 9.
Nice. Yeah. And you need that for every US city. You need to turn down a little bit.
What was the Diego like as far as availability of recreational needle drugs on the street? Or was it?
Well, I went to the place without any Diegos, so you'd have to ask someone else.
It was a Diego.
Yeah, I went for a run one morning when I was suffering from jet lag, and like we were essentially staying in the Temple Bar of San Diego. So yeah, where we were staying was like really nice. There was a marina and stuff like that. It was gorgeous. And then I went out for a run in the morning, and yeah, like every major city, a lot of homelessness, a lot of kind of people who seem like they might be drug addicts. But like, that's everywhere, man. Like,
yeah,
that's not just everywhere on the West Coast of America. That's like Dublin. That's London. That's everywhere.
I do feel like yeah. If I wasn't so used to seeing our flavor of it, I'd probably say the same thing about here. Yeah, that is a good point.
Well, I tell you, where I was born and raised in West Philadelphia. That's a
And spend most of your days.
With the drug dealer's house. And then my mom was like, that story makes sense. I think Will is sugarcoating whatever happened there before he got sent to move with his auntie and uncle. He was carrying weight. He was caught by the police. It was confiscated. He owed money. He couldn't pay it back. And his mom got scared and said, you're moving with, you've got to go to Bel Air with your auntie and uncle, you know? And make sure to constantly make fun of your uncle's weight problem since he's been so nice to take you in. Why don't you do that? And belittle your cousin. I mean, and he's little enough already as he is. Good old Alfonso Rivera. And yeah, I was in Tenerife on what used to, before, prior to these politically correct days, be called a holiday.
And how was
it? No, Manus, you can use that word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why didn't I get beat? What the fuck? And yeah, I did make the observation that if rich people see how nice the Canaries are, they will not let Scaldies go on holiday here anymore.
And
we gotta do something about this because they're lovely, but it is what it is. It's fuck body. You don't need body positivity over there. You just need to look at other people's bodies and you get pretty positive.
I'm pretty positive. I'm the thinnest guy here by about 20 pounds.
I said that to Michelle because I got up early the first day because Michelle was like, I think I might need a new swimsuit. I'm not sure if this one quite fits. And I was just like, darling, we'll go for one walk and you won't give a shit if your swimsuit fits.
It sounds nice to go on like a lowest common denominator holiday.
Oh, it's class, man.
Yeah.
And you can be and like I like all those things. I like fucking day drinking, peeing in the pool, you know. All of the things.
By the end of the holiday, it was more pee than pool.
It certainly was. Oh, like I enjoy the things that now, like the second discussion topic is the fact that it's really great that B-Day culture is embraced by those places because the holiday arse is real.
Oh, I when you originally said that, I thought you meant like birthday culture, and I was
B-Day. No, like the aquatic bum cleaning device, the B-Day.
Yeah.
But because like by day three, I was like, I can't wipe anymore. I think I just need to go full B-Day.
Yeah, I would say the cuisine of Tenerife, as well as the 10 pints a day, is going to do a number.
We had to, one of the days I was like, we have to just spend ludicrous money and go to that, like, this like steakhouse in the like Tommy Hilfiger shop. Yeah. it's not quite what it's the way I would describe it. It's where all the high end places are, and I was just like, I don't care how much it costs, I cannot eat another same dinner. And drink 10 pints of that and lovely Dorada. I wonder, will I be able to get it here? I'd love to drink a nice Dorada.
It's just the same.
Just the fucking same. They come in that, and they come in those little jars, so you feel like you're in Cheers.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's where it's fucking at.
What is the traditional Tenerifean diet?
Oh, like, I'm sure the actual people who are Spanish there eat fine. But
fish,
like,
and chips, mate.
Fish, yeah. What do you mean you all come here on a fucking plane, you can't?
Yeah. Oh, so it's a bangers and mash event. Okay, yeah, cool.
Oh, yeah. There'd be this is an area of the world that every pub will stock cans of John Smith's, because God forbid that the people who like to drink that would have to drink anything else for a week.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Go off to Tenerife for a lovely Abbott ale in the sun. They ain't got fucking Carlsberg, have they? They ain't got fucking Heineken. Oh, so that's going to be difficult for you, Steve. I understand.
Right, don't so probably.
So you can bop in on like drinks like $1.50 a pint, man.
I mean, like, there are some benefits.
Oh, and bro, I was tipping like a lord.
Yeah. $1.50 and $1.50 for yourself.
And $1.50 for you, sir. Like, what are you? I'm still getting change from a fiver for a beer. Where would you be fucking going? But yeah, you don't want to. A week was enough. Two weeks, you'd have to. 2 weeks, and we would have to have cooked for ourselves.
Yeah.
You cannot eat that way.
No.
I know you did it for a full month once, Gavin, and everything worked out fine.
I paid the price.
You did. You're also at least 10 years younger than I am now when you did that, and you still paid a price for it.
Yeah.
It's
why Greece is more and more the perfect holiday destination. I mean, after a week on the Greek diet, you're a fucking Ken doll down there. Like, why? There's nothing coming out of it. Like, it's just like Greek salads and like,
do they do those in Greece? Do they just call them salads?
They do just call them salads.
It's
they
very confusing. Greek
salads.
Yeah.
For all you Cretans out there.
Yeah, why is that such a big insult to be from Crete?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Or, you know what? That's not, it's not even remotely spelled the same, is it? It's like Cretins is Cretans.
Yeah.
Is that in reference to the island of Crete?
And then Cretian would be Cretan.
Cretian. Yeah. Cretian.
It's not too far away.
It's not a million miles away. And you know what those Greeks are like?
Lecherous.
Lecherous Greeks.
Creepy.
You can imagine all the various Peloponnesian wars, and it's just like the Athenians and the Spartans just slinging insults back at each other. It's like, what you're both like, what you're calling each other? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, the Greeks are fine. I think I was only in Greece once, and they were fine then. They're probably still fine.
They're probably still fine.
Yeah. Their country suffered big time during the. Every crisis that's ever happened, actually, now that I think of it. they got their empire in real early, and then it was just fucking shafting o'clock for Greece for the next several millennia. because, bro, when you're walking around telling everyone that you're the peak of civilization, they're waiting for you to fall, man.
Target at your back. Target on your effing back.
They're not giving you an easy ride down. No. The silk slippers of empire on that ladder, you know. Michelle's in. I'm actually going to move.
Well, let's use this opportunity to review the drinks for this episode.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's make some sort of a... Yeah, because we're doing a second episode.
Yeah, I'm going to say, though this is just like a Causton Press ginger beer is just like a fancier version of a soft drink. Really fucking nice. Really bloody nice. Yeah, ginger beer. I like my ginger beers a bit spicy, and this one is not because they've thrown apples in. But yeah, it's pretty good.
It's good. Yeah, Perlenbacher. Fuck.
Seven up three. I've had two sips and I haven't gotten sick, so I'm going to call that a huge win for hydration.
Yeah,
huge
hydration for the win.
Absolutely delighted with that. Now, to be honest. That gives us only one thing to cheers to
being on the move and not getting sick.
Being on the move and not getting sick.
Hooray. All right, let's. I'm gonna take a wee and then we'll just do the second episode.
Yeah, perfect. I'll grab a.
That ought to hold those SOBs.